You've arrived here at a critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Urriel.
We are the TV BFFs, and this is the podcast about the TV shows that people love most. We've been off for a little bit, but we are back, as is our yearly tradition, to talk about the Emmy nominations.
Yes.
The Emmys are yearly tradition. We take a look at kind of the state of the TV industry, what's getting nominated, what we think should and will win. Brandi, what are your just kind of big picture thoughts kind of looking at this list of shows?
My big picture thoughts are that at first I was kind of like, wait, have I watched anything this year? Because it feels like I haven't watched anything in like the past couple of months, except for, I mean, everything on Bravo.
Sure. Which has its own little moment here. We'll get to
it. I know, yeah. I know. But then as I started looking at this list, I was like, oh, wait, I've seen so much of it. And the stuff that I haven't seen, I hadn't seen yet because I'm very emotional when shows end. Mm-hmm. And for me, Hacks is just I love that show so much. It's just like watching an episode. It's like a warm hug, even mm-hmm. when Ava and Deborah are fighting. And I was just, I love this last season so much because like they're friends.
Yeah.
And like, they can just like be friends, but like also bust each other's balls. And I was like, I gotta just finish watching it. But I just hate it when things end. I don't know if you remember how long it took me to finish watching Insecure.
Yeah,
because years. I was so upset that it was ending.
A long time.
But like, I saved that finale.
Yeah.
Well, with Hacks, I'm at the finale. I'm like halfway through. And it's like, I mean, I don't want to say that I know where it's going because I feel like the show is so good about subverting your expectations on mm-hmm, things. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like this is going, that I feel like they're going to land this plane the right way.
I believe that they do.
And that I am going to be a mess.
I believe that you will. Yeah.
I just like, I was already a mess at the end of the penultimate episode. Like I'm going to be a mess. And I want it to win everything that it's nominated for, even though it is very tough for me and such a Sophie's choice that Jean Smart is nominated alongside Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah. Well, so let's start with this comedy category because we're kind of into it with Hacks. And I don't think, like I said, I don't think we need to go through like every single acting nomination and all the supporting and guest. And we'll kind of talk about that as we talk about these larger shows and how many nominations they kind of each have garnered. But if we're starting with the nominations for Outstanding Comedy Series, what is nominated, we have Abbott Elementary, which is, I think, like the only network show in almost mm-hmm. all of these nominations, I want to say. We have The Bear, which we'll get to. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of thoughts about that show, as we always do. Hacks, which you mentioned, its fifth and final season. Margo's Got Money Troubles, a new show on Apple. Nobody Wants This for its second season on Netflix. Puzzling. Only Murders in the Building for its 57th season on Hulu, I think also puzzling. Shrinking for, I believe, its third season on Apple. And Widow's Bay, kind of an upstart new entry here, also Apple. So I think what we could start with before we even get into the series is just, holy shit, Apple TV. Like kind of really, really coming for the established network streamers. I have a list here on Deadline that kind of breaks down the per network allotment. HBO Max leads with 122, not surprising. Netflix 111, which, okay, Netflix, they have, you know, a bajillion shows, but then Apple TV is third with 87, and after that it's a steep drop off to 38 is the next closest network. So very clearly the big three in prestige TV right now: HBO Max, Netflix, Apple TV.
Yeah, I think if like you are a creator that pulls any weight, mm-hmm. you're going to, and you want to win some awards, you're going to Apple TV is kind of what I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, they got tons of money, you know, mm-hmm. the network isn't a, you know, it's not bringing them profit. They're doing it because they can, because they're worth, you know, trillions upon trillions. And I think what you also get, it kind of overlaps with the Emmy voting, where Emmy voters like stars. They like mm-hmm. big, big celebrity stars. I think that'll come up once we get to the drama nominations a little bit, but yeah, here it's like, you know, Margo's Got Money Troubles. That's a Elle Fanning vehicle. Mm-hmm. Nobody Wants This. That's a Netflix mm-hmm. show. Like, you know, a couple big stars there. I didn't even watch the second season of Nobody Wants This. We should.
The second season. You know, we can start there. Yeah. Like the first season of that show was great.
Really
it
fun.
It was great. It was so much fun.
Very cute.
So cute. I love Kristen Bell. I love Adam Brody. Like I thought that their chemistry was great. I loved, I'm not even going to say his name right, but Jonah is his name in the show. But, you know, he's the guy, he's from Veep.
Oh, yes. I know.
It. Tall, goofy, amazing.
Timothy Simons.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was really great, but like the second season just couldn't, it didn't like the first season was so clear and where it was going. It's like, okay, you've got these two people that've got so much chemistry. They're really into each other, but like they've got this big hurdle of her not being Jewish and him wanting to be a rabbi who needs to have a beautiful, Jewish wife.
Right.
You know? And I feel like because they didn't really interrogate what it would mean to for her to make that choice, and then it was just very muddled in the second season. I felt like, you know what I mean? Like there was no clear kind of like trajectory, and it just felt kind of like, wait, now he's kind of weird.
Right. Like, yeah. I honestly, like I mentioned, I didn't really give at the time of the time of day, like I never really felt compelled. I never felt excited to dive back into it. It feels like it's kind of like it gets to a point in the story and it's like, wow, okay. They maybe shouldn't be together. They should, but they can't. So they won't. It's just like, how far can you go with this? I don't know. I just didn't have any pull to get back into it. And I feel like the critical reception and the reviews were also incredibly mixed, trending back. Mm-hmm. So seeing this here, I think is a surprise. You mentioned it earlier. If we are to pick a snubbed show in this category, I think it is certainly the third and final season of The Comeback. I think that should absolutely be here. I think that bounces Nobody Wants This easily. I can't speak to Margo's Got Money Troubles. I haven't seen it, although I've heard good things. Yeah. I haven't watched Only Murders in the Building since its first season. This is this feels like one of those shows, and this happens so frequently with the Emmys. You saw this with Modern Family, with Big Bang Theory. Mm. Voters kind of glom on to like these like establishment shows that they've gotten a couple nominations in their early years, and then they just kind of keep stacking them because people either haven't seen everything, so they just kind of vote for what they know is quote unquote good because it's been good before. So like that kind of feels the way we're going there with Only Murders. Shrinking I like seeing here. I think that's a really fun show that's underwatched. Was its third season the best of its three? Maybe not, but I thought it was strong. Hacks, we mentioned, really pulling for it. I think the fifth season was fucking phenomenal.
Every single episode was a banger,
and honestly, and maybe controversial, I'm not sure I need Jean Smart to win again for I think what would be the fourth or fifth straight year.
Oh, I don't know, Dan. She is like, I feel like I wanted to be at the Deborah Vance show at Central Park.
Oh, of course.
I'm in that audience because or like in the audience at MSG because I bought a scalp ticket.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like she has made Deborah Vance is a person.
Yeah. But you know who else is? Ava Daniels. And I think Hannah Einbinder really deserves some love and deserves some awards recognition for her role, because I think
she is really good.
She stands toe to toe with Jean Smart in that show. And you can't have one without the other. Mm-hmm. Jean Smart has gotten all the awards love. Mm-hmm. Hannah, not quite as much. And I think she's equally as strong. And I love her character equally as much. You said you wanted to be at the Deborah show in Central Park. Yes, absolutely. More than that, I want to work on Ava's new show. You know what I mean?
she was so nice. Yeah. She's just so nice. And she's talking, like just walking through, talking to her. I was like, wow, like way to model great behavior.
Exactly.
Like that is how you shouldn't be acting on set.
Two other things I want to touch on while we're in this category. Let's briefly hit on The Bear. We are recording after it's another final season has aired. Its fifth season just aired. What's always tricky about The Bear because of the timing, and I hate this about the Emmys, and I wish so bad that they would just turn to a calendar model like every other award show under the sun, do a January to December year of eligibility. Instead, we still get this wonky June through the following May is what is eligible. The Bear comes out end of June, so every year people get so confused. They're like, okay, The Bear's been nominated for its final season. No, it hasn't. It's been nominated for its fourth season. its final season, if it's going to be nominated, will be for next year's Emmys. By that time, we will all have forgotten about The Bear and its final season. So it's just, it's convoluted. It's annoying. I don't love it. Mm-hmm. That said, The Bear season 4.
I didn't watch it.
Not my favorite. There's a couple standout episodes. I've gone back and so I've watched the 5th season and then I went back and did a full series rewatch. I am still obsessed with The Bear. I think there's a lot to love there.
Okay.
We were texting with our friend Christian on the side here and I said, I think after rewatching it in its entirety, seasons 3 and 4 just did so much damage to the show's reputation just for being overlong and overstuffed. I think you can trim slash kind of mesh together a couple, 2-3 episodes in each of those seasons. And all of a sudden you have just all bangers, no misses. I think the 5th season, again, like it starts a little bit slow. You could probably mesh the first 2 or 3 episodes together, cut some things. But then once it hits episode 4, it really takes off. Like I said, though, this final season, season 5, is not what is being nominated. So I don't think The Bear has any chance for season 4 from last summer, which leaves us with Widow's Bay is the final entry here. And if I have to say, if Hacks isn't going to win, and I would love it to, it has to be Widow's Bay for me. I have been obsessed with this show. It's a absolute unique melding of comedy and horror, unlike we've seen in I don't know how long. The performances are fantastic. The writing is incredible. The design, the lore behind everything. It's just, it's really, really good. I know you've just started dipping your toe in. What are your thoughts on Widow's Bay so far? And how much have you watched?
I will be going in for episode 5, hopefully a little later tonight.
Wonderful.
So I've watched 1 through 4 and I love it. I will. This is what I have to say, though, is I think that Matthew Reese is so good in it. But because he was so good in The Beast in Me, I am so suspicious of him in Widow's Bay.
Nominated for both roles, by the way. The rare double lead actor.
I know.
Yeah.
I was like, that's like, is that like a holy grail for an actor? Like, that's really sick. But yeah, no, I really love it. It's so scary. And it's like a real kind of scary too. Just like that is like really creepy. It's like, it's giving like, I still think the scariest episode of television ever is the Teddy Perkins episode from Atlanta.
Similar vibes though.
And
yeah.
But I mean, Hiro Murai is the kind of the connective tissue there, right?
The common denominator.
Did he direct Teddy Perkins? I know he's directed a bunch of Atlanta stuff. I don't know if he directed that specific.
He's directed and certainly was the EP throughout Atlanta. I'm not sure if he directed Teddy Perkins. Yeah. He's definitely directed several episodes of Widow's Bay and is an EP on that show as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely some common.
He did direct it.
Oh, there you go.
It's just so unsettling.
Yeah. And I specifically mentioned, I was texting you before we recorded. I said, you have to get to episode 4 of Widow's Bay.
Yeah.
I think one of the best episodes of the year. That's the Patricia, who is played by Kate O'Flynn, the Patricia focused kind of witchcrafty episode. That's what's great. Like each episode has its own kind of thing. You know, there's like the haunted house episode. There's this kind of witchy episode. You're going to get to like a kind of Halloween Michael Myers sort of thing later on. Like they all kind of have their own specific vibe or homage, but the serialized storytelling is also really, really good and keeps you guessing, is really strong, really great lore. Just wait till you get to episode 6 and 7. The whole thing kind of shifts in a way that's really interesting. So
I'm really excited.
I loved it. I can't wait for more. It's giving me a little bit of like Severance vibes, and not the type of show that it is, but in how it's being received with the theories and the deep dives and the rewatches and the Easter eggs. And did you see this? And what does this mean? So, you know, I love that sort of shit. So that also kind of like really sparks it for me. So,
yeah, I would be totally cool with that one winning.
Yeah,
it's really good. But I just feel like Hacks, like they're just doing a great job. So I'm happy to hear that you feel that they landed the plane, and I am going to land it. I just know I'm going to be a mess.
Yeah. Let's take a little bit of a, well, let's do this. Let's do limiteds next.
Okay.
Because to be quite honest with you, I don't have a ton to say about this category.
I got some opinions.
Okay, great. I'll let you drive this one real quick. The nominees are All Her Fault on Peacock, The Beast in Me, which you mentioned from Netflix, Beef, which is a season 2 on Netflix, DTF St. Louis on HBO Max, and Love Story, John F. Kennedy Jr. and Carolyn Bessette, which is FX Hulu. And just a quick fact check. So Beef, even though it's a season two, it is an anthology, like an American crime story sort of deal. Mm-hmm. So totally new story, totally new characters. That's why it's in the limited. I haven't seen a single one of these series this year, which is shocking and surprising for me. I don't know. I've been doing some rewatching of old favorites and otherwise occupied with some stuff. So it's like, I don't know. I've had a hard time getting excited to watch 8 episodes of a thing, knowing there's not going to be more to dive into beyond that. But that said, you take the ball and run with this one. What are your thoughts and who should win? Who do you think is going to win?
So I have seen, I act like I've seen all of these. There's 5 of them. I've seen 3 of them. So I saw, All Her Fault, loved it. Beast in Me, loved it.
Okay.
And Love Story, didn't love it. Not sure why it's here. Like, I think that Sarah Pigeon being nominated for her performance for Carolyn Bessette is spot on. Like, she was really, really good.
Right.
But the show, like, as a whole was a hack piece.
It sounds like that performance and the 90s New York City production design are really kind of what's carrying it here, from what I can tell.
Yeah. Cause like everything else was just, I think it's just that like people are so like mystified and enchanted by the Kennedys that like any piece of like any way that you're getting a look into what it was like is intriguing, right? Because it's just like, wait, how do they live? Like, what is this like? But like, actually, it's really boring. It's like really boring, like rich, really rich people like that are really boring and they can't go outside because there's a paparazzi.
Right, right, right.
So like, okay, great. Like, yeah, his Tribeca loft is really cool. Great. How the fuck does she live in that apartment in East Village? And like, this is and like, cause like, it's not like this is like the 90s is East Village, but like, it's not the 90s, like Avenue D, like it's the 90s and she's living near like 4th Ave or 3rd Ave or something. Like, give me a break. How is she affording that? Cause like they make a big show of like how, you know, like poor and normal she is. But anyway, I'm like, that's not a poor normal apartment. Like a poor normal apartment would have been my apartment on 2nd Street and Avenue C that was on the 6th floor.
There you go. Walk up, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so I'm a little confused about why that's up there. Okay. DTF St. Louis. I thought about watching, but it also seemed like, you know how like I don't really have time in my life for just like white people like being like victims.
Fucking around.
Rich white people being victims. It's like I have my housewives for that. Like that's like kind of like where my
and yet Love Story.
I know. Well, I was like, let me see what these Kennedys do. Right.
I will say DTF St. Louis, from what I haven't seen any of these, but from what I hear, that feels like might be a surprise winner. Everyone is like, I can't explain it to you. You just have to watch it. It's so freaking weird and one of a kind. Mm-hmm. It presented as kind of like a sex scandal maybe leads to murder. I'm like, okay. And Jason Bateman, I've seen him in like a dozen of these sort of, the dark side of this thing type of show. And I was just like, I feel like I don't need to see this, but that is the one that people are like, no, you actually, you really should check it out. So if any of these, I'd probably check that out. And I'd probably check out Beef as well, just because I really love
it. I definitely want to watch Beef. I thought the first season was really good.
Yeah,
this season, I like a lot of the actors. It seems interesting. I really love Carey Mulligan. I love Oscar Isaac.
Both nominated.
I mean, listen, I loved All Her Fault and The Beast in Me. They were just like good. Like, I'm kind of on the edge of my seat. I got to watch the next episode kind of thing. You know what I mean? I thought that they were just really, really well done.
Yeah.
Like Claire Danes being Claire Danes, like, you know, like just trembling lip all over the place.
Sure. Just, going full Danes.
Yeah. And Matthew Rhys, like I said, did such a great job in that. And this isn't a spoiler. He's the bad guy.
Right. Right.
Yeah. He's the beast. and then All Her Fault was just so good because it was, first of all, like the inciting incident is like one that is terrifying to like any mother of a young child. And it's that Sarah Snook is the mom. And she goes to pick her kid up from a play date and she gets to the house and the woman that answers the door is like, what are you talking about? There's no child here.
Oh, wow.
I don't know who you are. I don't know. There's never been a child here.
Right.
And then like the mystery unspools from there, like her child is missing. Like what happened?
Right.
And like she, and the way that it, and this isn't, again, not giving anything away, but Dakota Fanning is also in it. And she plays the mom who was the mom of the kid that Sarah Snook's kid was supposed to have the play date with. And like they had like met at like some PTA function and just kind of like exchanged numbers. And like as a, like I'm viewing this like as a mom, right? And like as a person that's meeting other mom friends, it's like really great when you meet another mom that you're like, oh, this bitch is cool.
Yeah.
I love her. Like, we're going to get it. Like, this is great. Of course our kids can hang out. Yeah. Yes. Like we are bonding in this bathroom. And so she calls Dakota Fanning. She's like, and Dakota Fanning's like, I never texted you about a play date.
Okay.
And then it just really devolves into like, you know, whose responsibility is it? Because the dad is like, well, you didn't check that. You didn't check the number. Yeah.
It's not all his fault, Brandy. It's all her fault.
I know, it's all her fault.
Right.
Yeah. And just like, and how the mom, like, you know, like she obviously is like overwhelmed. She's got a very like high powered job and like, she's really trying to do this thing. And everything ends up like, I mean, whatever. It's a great mystery story. And it does really leave you guessing. And then like when you see how it ends, it's like, wait, what the f-? Like it makes sense, but it's like, oh my God, that was crazy. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah. And that's the mark of a successful miniseries. Yeah. I do want to call out the Emmys are gonna be a big night for the Fanning sisters.
Yeah.
Dakota Fanning is nominated for her role in All Her Fault. Elle Fanning is nominated for her role in Margo's Got Money Troubles. And then not only that, both of them are EPs of Margo's Got Money Troubles as well. Both Elle, who's in it, and Dakota, she's in an EP on that show as well. So could be a potentially huge night for the Fanning fam.
Wow. My favorite Dakota Fanning movie is still Uptown Girls.
Oh.
So good with Brittany Murphy.
Brittany Murphy. R.I.P. Yeah. May she rest in peace. Yeah, that was a really good movie. I remember that one.
Yeah. All right. So yeah. So I think that I'm fine with anything winning in this category except for Love Story, because like that's a crime.
Yeah. I think
that would be a crime.
I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go to some reality stuff. What's interesting? What's surprising?
I mean, I just love that. I feel like reality is getting its due, and like, you know, we've always had the Outstanding Reality Competition show, and it's always the Amazing Race.
Not this
year. So it was actually really nice this year to see that like the Amazing Race wasn't nominated, and that we're getting nominations of shows that like I guess people watch the Amazing Race, but it's just like I don't understand CBS. Okay. I don't understand that. I don't know. I love that. I mean, I know that you didn't love the season of The Traitors as much as I did.
No, but it's still a fun, it's still a really fun
but
show.
Like, I love it. And then like Top Chef, I love, although I was a little confused as to if it was this current season or the previous season.
It's this most current. It's the Carolinas.
This most current. So the Carolinas.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We also have Survivor 50 in here, RuPaul's Drag Race, and Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars, I was actually kind of like really happy to see, because I feel like they had a moment this year, and like they really stepped it up.
I think that might be the dark horse to win, because it was such a cultural conversation, as was The Traitors, but again, not the strongest of its last three seasons.
Yeah.
Survivor 50 pissed me off in a multitude of ways that I can get into in detail. that'd be a whole other podcast, though. I strongly do not believe it deserves the to win absolute best reality competition of the year.
Do you think it just got it because it's Survivor 50?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. And I do think more people watched. Okay. Here's my quick 60-second rant on Survivor 50.
Do it.
I gave the casting a lot of shit initially. I don't think they cast it well. For a celebration of 50 years of a show, they skipped an entire like 20 season stretch where no one was represented, like in the true middle best of the series. Like they just didn't pick anyone from that stretch. Weird. Okay. Anyway, it's Survivor 50 in the hands of the fans. The fans get to vote for format things and twists and do they get rice and what's the final challenge going to be?
I hate in the hands of the fans.
Incredibly mismanaged. I don't think they were truthful about some of the actual vote totals. I think they did whatever the fuck they wanted anyway. And then if people didn't like it, they got to say, well, you guys picked this. I'm not sure that that's true.
Mm-hmm. I believe it. Low stakes conspiracy theory.
Yeah. My biggest gripe. So I think I was proved wrong about the cast, and I think the cast actually performed really, really well. I think that towards the end, it fell off a little bit. But my biggest problem was there were just too many dumb twists per usual. And not only that, I can rock with a dumb twist if players can find a way to make it meaningful or interesting or use it to enhance or change their strategy. These twists just tied their hands. There were idols that couldn't be played on other people like as a normal thing. There was a twist where this one guy, Jimmy Fallon, created a twist where one guy, if he lost this little mini challenge, he had to write his own name down, which is like the one cardinal rule of Survivor is you don't ever vote for yourself, except for this one time. Not only that, he then had to tell everyone in the tribe that he was doing this. So we couldn't even like, okay, I'm saddled with this thing, but how can I spin it? Who can I lie to? Who do I tell? Who do I not? They just made him just tell everybody. I'm like, you just sapped all of the fun gameplay out of this asinine twist that you created. So a lot of it pissed me off for a lot of reasons. It certainly should not win. I think I'm definitely pulling for Top Chef. But I'd be excited with a Dancing with the Stars win.
Yeah, I think I'm pulling for Top Chef.
Yeah. I bet the Traitors actually wins, though. I think it's such a phenomenon that Traitors might actually
win. And it's also just so fun.
It's really fun. Yeah.
It's so fun.
We can't hate it. Outstanding structured reality program. We have Antiques Roadshow, which I think probably has the most nominations of any show in history. It's here every year, even though I don't know a single person who watches it. Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, again, always here. Shark Tank, again, a lot of stalwarts in this category. There's Queer Eye and there's Love is Blind. Probably Queer Eye or Love is Blind, I would imagine, in this category. Not a ton to talk about here.
And like Love is Blind is running on fumes, sorry. Coming from a true fan of the show, but it's like when you start to have cycles that run, and this is the inherent problem with shows like this, it's that they're so much fun and you want them to be on all the time, but like, they're fun because of the people that are on them. And it is really hard to find really great people like that. Like when you're putting up like three seasons in a year.
Right. I also wonder like the shine has dulled on that franchise where something like a Love Island, do we think we see that in this slot in years to come? Because that shine is so bright and strong.
I think you definitely could, especially considering the Ariana of it all. If she feels like a dipping of the toe.
Yeah. So speaking of Ariana, let's go to outstanding host for a reality or reality competition. We have RuPaul from RuPaul's Drag Race. We have Alan Cumming from The Traitors. We have Kristen Kish from Top Chef, Jeff Probst from Survivor, and then Ariana Madix from Love Island USA. So a lot of these shows we've discussed already. Would love Kristen to win this. I think that even if the show wasn't the best season it's ever had, I think she has really found her stride as the host of that show. She has differentiated herself from Padma. She is she has that unique perspective of having played the game, having won the game. She's able to like break the fourth wall, go behind the scenes, comfort a chef who's spiraling and in tears and physically shaking and can't present their dish. She gets overjoyed. She gets moved to tears herself. I think she is doing a fantastic job. I love seeing her, and I would love to see her win this. Unfortunately, I think this will be Jeff Probst to win. As much as I hate saying that, the universal opinion of Jeff Probst is, man, what a pro. He's been doing this amazingly for 50 years. I think he also thinks that, and he's made the show so much about himself and has made him the center of attention. It annoys me to no end. I have gone on diatribes about Jeff Probst on this podcast in the past, so I won't do it again, but if he wins, we riot. That said, though, seeing Ariana here is really cool and really interesting as well.
No, I mean, I love Alan Cumming. I think he's so great. But I think that Kristen Kish has really redefined what the host of Top Chef can be. Do you know what I mean? Like, she brings such an authenticity to that show where, because she kind of bridges that divide between contestant and judge, it really feels like, not that it ever felt like a game show before, because it's not like it felt like a game show. But
right.
It feels like a real competition of talented people that are coming to do this for the love of the game and not for a show.
Right.
And yeah. I think that she contributes a lot to that, because otherwise it's just like, I mean, obviously like Tom, Gail, like they're great. But they're judges.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's always what their vibe is going to be. And I don't know, even when they're making Kristen Kish do that stupid Wells Fargo cashback, quick cash chill.
She's able to pull it off, and her wardrobe is excellent. Like, yeah,
she looks amazing.
Yeah,
and like it just, she's almost like the viewer stand-in.
Kinda.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she's getting to experience all this stuff. Like, we want to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I want Ariana to win just because to go from Tom Sandoval saying that you're a piece of shit, just sits around watching Love Island,
right,
to winning an Emmy for hosting Love Island while looking the best you've ever looked in your entire life. Like, that is what dreams are made of.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that is why, like, those are the kinds of stories that, like, keep you living.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, like, things are okay.
Yeah.
And things will be okay. Like, look at Ariana Maddox.
Yeah. I mean, I'm down to support that. I think if not Kristen, I think definitely Ariana would be super fun. I would love to see her give a speech. Although I don't think she will, because that's part of the Creative Arts Emmys. We'll see it on Instagram. One quick hot take: as much love as Alan Cumming gets, I think the host character that he plays is getting a little stale to me.
Mm.
And I'm not sure I would have said that if I hadn't spent so much time this past year watching other iterations of the franchise. And Claudia Winkleman, the UK host,
mm-hmm.
she would beat all five of these people if I had a vote. Corinne Vanasse, I think that's how you pronounce her name. She's the Canadian host. I watched my first season of Canadian Traitors. Phenomenal. Like a real kind of like hard ass. Like, if you think Alan Cumming has incredible outfits, you haven't seen anything until you've seen this Canadian host and what she's bringing. Like, those two women are phenomenal hosts of the Traitors. And then when you watch Alan, I'm like, okay, yeah, he's doing his thing, but it's so clearly an over the top character. It's kind of lost its spell on me a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I can't speak to it because I haven't seen the other ones. Although I am trying to watch the Irish one, especially now since I've been to Ireland and I just want to hear like Irish people talk.
Yeah. She's a good host too. She's pretty good as well.
But I trust your opinion. And but I do still love Alan Cumming.
I do too. I mean, I'm not going to not enjoy what he's doing. I just think comparatively, I would choose others over him. And then let's talk about our last reality category here worth mentioning. Outstanding unstructured reality program. So this is the classic kind of, when you think of reality TV, this is what you think of. These are the docuseries. So we have America's Sweethearts, Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders on Netflix. That's probably what, its second or third season at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Love on the Spectrum on Netflix also similarly has had several seasons by now. RuPaul's Drag Race Untucked, the kind of docuseries companion to the competition. Welcome to Wrexham, the show about Rob Mack and what's-his-face's
Ryan Reynolds'
soccer team in Wales. Fine, I fell off that show years ago. Can't believe it's still on, but here we are. And then finally, Summer House Season 10, nominated for an Emmy. Do you believe it deserves it? Do you think it can win, and do you think it should win?
I mean, this is the thing. So I thought, and I'm a huge Bravo fan.
Yeah.
Like, I watch all of the shows. I have opinions about all of the shows. Some are like, some were firing on all cylinders. Some were misfiring. Some, like, it's just whatever. Like, I feel like Bravo has come out with consistently great shows, and that Bravo is very good at capitalizing on scandal,
mm-hmm.
almost to a point where I'm like, what's it planned? Well, six conspiracy theory. Is it a PSYOP?
Right. Who really wrote that shared announcement? You know what I mean?
I know, right? But like, I love that it was nominated because I think that we're finally seeing, like, TV is constantly evolving. Mm-hmm. The TV of 2006 is very different from the TV, or, I'm sorry, 2026 is very different from the TV of 2006, from 1996, 1986, blah, 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 right? And seeing a show like Summer House be applauded and rewarded for doing what reality TV does, which is like amplify people's messiness.
Yeah.
And, you know, put like a nice little like glossy sheen on it. I think it's groundbreaking.
Yeah. And I also think
like,
and this is something I want to say, maybe you can back me up if you listened as well. I think this was discussed on Morally Corrupt
mm-hmm.
with Rachel Lindsay on the Ringer podcast. about Bravo shows, they mentioned that because of the timing of the West and Amanda of it all, and she mentioned it, I hadn't thought about it until she did, and I'm like, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. I wonder how much tinkering was done in the back half of that season of Summer House, where potentially, if you think about what was actually happening, had to shift in ways to almost react to the kind of ongoing current speculation about the West and Amanda of it all. So I wonder, and I mean, we both work in reality TV. We know that these episodes are locked pretty far in advance, but it's also not unheard of to open episodes back up again if you have a really good reason to. And that's a pretty damn good reason to. So I wonder if that's something that came into play, knowing that, you know, they probably had to make some moves, at least at the very least, to some later episodes, especially in a way that, like, you know, lingering longer on things like Sierra and Amanda hugging each other before leaving the house, like certain things that in hindsight, knowing what has been released, knowing scenes are going to hit harder, extending certain scenes, pulling back on others. I have to imagine that went on, and that probably also kind of maybe led to this nomination as well.
You know, I think that even though I did say it was a low stakes conspiracy theory that it was all planned. I do think that the whole thing did actually happen with, you know, they, like, obviously Kyle and Amanda are terrible for each other. They should have never been together.
That
was happening. But I feel like that the producers were like, they're with these people, like they know these people. And I think that, like, they were getting a little whiff of, like, this feels, what is this? Like, they're in that video village.
Right.
They're seeing stuff that's going down.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, because there were too many instances of Wes being like a little bit too touchy feely with Amanda. Wes lingering a little too long. Like, just like, I feel like, so that they were like, they were on him. So I don't think they had to open up the episodes too much.
Sure. That's fair. That's fair.
But I do think that immediately there was some AE that was put on, like, look at every single West and Amanda moment.
Yes.
How long is this?
Right.
Where were they?
Yeah.
Where's the camera that's on them? Like, there was somebody or a few people who were just looking at that to pull stuff out.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if it's things like, okay, maybe they're not adding or removing scenes, but they're cutting to different cameras, or they're playing with coverage, you know, things like that. Like, whose reaction are we seeing in this moment that we maybe wouldn't have if we didn't know about certain things, you know, stuff like that. Yeah.
But no, I love that it was nominated. I think that, I mean, I don't know if it will win because Love on the Spectrum is really, 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 really good. But Summer House, it gives me hope because I think it's showing that it's like, these shows aren't just guilty pleasures.
Yeah. Like, can we get a Rhode Island season 2 for your consideration campaign going? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. Like, they're, you know, and it's like, yeah, like sometimes it gets like a little screechy, but I have to say, a few shows that came on Bravo this year that I thought, like, far exceeded any expectation I ever could have had was The Valley Persian Style, which was kind of like their reboot of Shaw as a Sunset, and Ladies of London. Like, I love them. And then also that Rhode Island just came out like guns blazing, which is just so crazy for a housewife show, because we've been in housewives world for so long that now people know how to be housewives. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, a 35-year-old housewife right now has ostensibly been watching The Real Housewives since she was 5.
It's been on for 30 years.
It's just 20 years.
But since
she was 15.
Since she's in high school.
Formidable.
Yeah.
Formidable years.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Her entire adult life, she's been watching Housewives.
But you just think that, like, that would be a detriment for the show. But somehow they've managed to find people that are uncorrupted by that.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, like, why I don't really love to watch, like, shows like The Bachelor and stuff anymore, because it's like, okay, those are just, like, conduits for you to start your influencer career.
Yeah.
Which is also, to a certain extent, how I feel about Love Island. And also, I just feel like Love Island is, like, let that be for the youth. I don't need it. It's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm okay that I'm not a part of that conversation.
Yeah.
Anyway, this all goes back to say, I'm really happy that Summer House was nominated, and I hope it wins, but, like, I'm not going to cry if it doesn't. But, like, it truly is. It's an honor to be nominated. Like, I've never felt that, like, more truly in my soul.
Okay, yeah. So let's get to our final kind of big category here of outstanding drama series. So interesting bag here, mixed bag. I have many thoughts. Let's start at the top. So nominated, we have The Diplomat, I believe season 3 on Netflix. Mm-hmm. The Gilded Age, I think also a season 3 from HBO Max. A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, HBO Max. Surprised to see here. Equally surprising for different reasons, Paradise on Hulu has been nominated for its second season. The Pit on HBO Max has been nominated for its second season. Pluribus has been nominated on Apple TV, its first season. Slow Horses from Apple TV, I believe that's season 5. And Your Friends and Neighbors, also Apple TV, its second season. A lot of good and a lot of weird and a lot of bad. This category kind of has a lot of mixed emotions for me. I'm going to start with one surprise. It's a little surprising not to see the final Stranger Things season on here. Not that I thought it was the best. I just figured it was such a huge deal that it would at least get a nomination. Interesting to see that excluded. Infuriating to see Industry season 4 not nominated again. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it. I can't abide by it. I can't endorse it. I don't know what is happening. I think maybe people just have like some sort of mental block about it. Maybe they watched the first season, never quite got into it, and didn't realize it's only gotten better and better season over season. Maybe it's too bleak for people. I've heard that. It's a tough watch. It's a tough sit. Okay, I mean, so are a lot. So was Adolescence, and that fucking swept. You know what I mean? Like this, you know, tough sits are, you know,
yeah,
that shouldn't be disqualifying. The performances are legendary. It has minted a whole new slew of actors that you're now seeing everywhere, from Mahala to Marissa Abella. I mean, Kit Harington has been on these past two seasons, and he had an incredible role that I think should have been nominated. Ken Leung is doing amazing work on that show. I'm upset. If I talk about it too much, I'm going to get enraged, so I'll move on. But the fact that Industry isn't here is fucking terrible. And in its place, we have Drivel, like Your Friends and Neighbors. Season 2. Again, I think this is a, hey guys, Jon Hamm's in a new show. That should probably be nominated, right? And from people who probably even haven't even seen it. Like I tried to get into season 2 and couldn't. Season 1 was fine. Season 2 is not good. I don't understand why it's here. It pisses me off. The other one that makes me mad, although I haven't actually seen season 2, so I can't get too upset. But Paradise season 2, that also feels weird to be here.
You should be upset.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. You should be upset. Listen, I have no desire to ever see Your Friends and Neighbors, but like this is another logistics conspiracy theory.
Okay.
That, the PR people for Your Friends and Neighbors are the ones that, got that meme going with Jon Hamm vibing because I saw that and was like, what's that from? Oh, maybe I'll take a look. Okay. And some people actually followed through with that thought.
Yeah. Right.
And that's, I think, how it got nominated. But Paradise season 2, I got to the third episode and was just like, and I feel like that show just suffers from a problem of any show with like just a real kind of big premise like that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like to kind of keep that surprise and like this crazy thing and this crazy thing. You know what I mean? Because I feel like that, like the first season of Paradise was so good because it was this slow drip of like, what is this place?
Right.
Wait.
Shows like that can work. I mean, Pluribus is nominated. Severance has been nominated, which we love.
But like, I think that like it's, you have to be able to go past that first season.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that they did, but I got 3 episodes in and was just like, I think I'm done with this. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll go back, 'cause I did enjoy the first season, but like the second season wasn't given. Like, I actually don't care what's going on in the outside world. I don't know.
And listen, and I'll cop to like, people really like the things that they really like. So like for me, other people might be like, what the hell is the Diplomat doing here? What the hell is the Gilded Age doing here? Mm-hmm. I personally love both of those shows. So for me, that's not offensive. So I get it. I understand a lot of people really love Paradise. Darren Karp, shout out. You probably fucking love this season. But it just wasn't, it's not for me. I think it's overhyped. But like, would I be mad when I see takes like, what the hell is the Diplomat doing here? No, I'm not, because I understand.
Yeah.
It's like West Wing nostalgia meets House of Cards political intrigue. It's fun. Is it the best thing I've seen? No, but it's super fucking fun. Same with The Gilded Age. Is it the best thing I've seen? No. Was season two way better than season three, which has been nominated? Yes. Am I mad that it's here? No. Like, it's fun. I loved it. Of the things that I think have a potential to win, I think it's really only down to
The Pit.
I mean, it's the Pits to lose. Like, the Pit yeah. is the front runner by far and away. Another excellent season. I have no problem with the huge amount of nominations it garnered, all the acting nominations, the guest nominations. Like, it really, really cleaned up. I think I have a list here of per show. Yeah, it's the most nominated show with 25. Mm-hmm. Hacks came in with 24. Widow's Bay, 19. Pluribus, 18. Then The Beef, DTF St. Louis, SNL. And Spider Noir, which is interesting, and I have not seen. But anyway, all that said, I think it's The Pits to lose. I love seeing A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms here. I think that actually was like of a really high quality and really gave me like old school Game of Thrones vibes. Mm-hmm. Pleasantly surprised to see it here. Note this one for future seasons, especially because they've made it plain. They've made it known that this is a show they want to roll out. Like The Pit, we're going to get a season every year, which I think is very, very cool. Mm-hmm. I also don't look too far past Pluribus. Vince Gilligan has a way with Emmy voters, and that was a one-of-a-kind show.
It was a one-of-a-kind show, like super interesting premise that I still not like totally getting, but like I want to see more.
Yeah.
Like I'm confused and want to learn more versus I'm confused and like mad and want to shut down.
Yeah.
I'm confused and like interested in not being confused anymore.
Yes, 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 yes.
And I love Ray Sayhorn.
Yes. Who was also nominated, I believe.
Thank God. And I also really like Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. Like you said that I should check it out.
Yeah.
Because I was like not quite sure about checking it out. But I have not finished it, but I have watched at least two episodes and I'm into going back for more. It's just the other things have taken precedent and like it's an easy
the classic Brandy Deuce.
Well, but it's an easy show to watch because isn't it like is. 6 or 7 episodes or like 30 minutes? Like,
6 episodes, 30 minutes each.
That's my kind of show.
It's great. It's really great. All right. That's kind of like the big stuff. Some little things to take note of. I mentioned SNL got a bunch of nominations, including Connor Story.
I love that.
Gets his first nomination. So Heated Rivalry was not eligible because it's a Canadian production. So that's why you don't see Heated Rivalry anywhere. Mm. But the fact that Connor Story got a guest nomination for hosting SNL is really cool. What's not cool was the fact that Ashley Padilla, breakout SNL performer who has been the one you've seen in all of your favorite sketches.
So good in every single sketch.
An absolute chameleon, like the next person who's taking that place of the, you know, the
Kate McKinnon,
the Kristen Wiggs.
Like, the Kristen Wiggs,
very
yes.
much in that lane to an excellent degree. Not nominated, kind of a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also going to shout out our friend, Christian Banda. He has texted me several times saying you need to watch Half Man, which is Richard Gadd's follow-up to Baby Reindeer. Mm. Totally different story, totally different performance, different actor. 6-part limited series about toxic masculinity. So, you know, probably an uncomfortable watch. Maybe a little bit of an industry sort of vibe to it. Like, I don't want to watch this. I don't want to nominate it. But he is like, that show's a masterpiece. You got to give it a chance. So I will.
Okay.
On Kristen's recommendation, but not really nominated for much of anything.
One story I want to point out is the woman. So one of the nominees for The Pit is for best guest actress or like a guest acting spot.
Yeah.
And the woman from The Pit who played the mom who was basically like came to the hospital to die.
Right. The chronic pain.
With the chronic pain, she submitted herself. Like they didn't want to submit her. So she submit herself and y'all, she got nominated. So like,
yeah. And so did the biker friend of Dr. Robbie also self-submitted and got nominated.
That makes me so happy.
Isn't that cool?
Jeff Kober and Brittany Allen.
Yeah.
Guys, like let's go follow them on Instagram.
Really cool. And while we're also talking about guest actor nominations, The Bear got a fun nomination for Rob Reiner.
No.
Received a posthumous Emmy nomination for his role as kind of like a business consultant that helps Ebrard get the beef window. I don't want to spoil anything, but like mm-hmm. he kind of comes in to help Ebra, you know, get the beef window financially viable, I guess you could say, but a really fun role. And in this fifth season, obviously, you know, he's no longer with us, but there's a really fun nod to him where Ibra's on the phone and they're talking back and forth. And the last thing Ibra says before he hangs up with the Rob Reiner character is "as you wish," which is a nod to, Princess Bride, which is really sweet and made me tear up. So, really, really cool nomination for Rob Reiner there.
And this is going back to something we were talking about before, because I was thinking about, I hadn't thought about how Stranger Things wasn't on this list. And I was like, oh man, I really like the ending of Stranger Things. But then I forgot that, like, remember how it was divided into two sections?
Three.
I feel and like the,
whole
first,
middle, the whole middle like, section was bad.
The whole middle section was terrible.
Yeah.
Like the stuff that came out like in November. And it was just
no,
like,
the Christmas ones. November was good. Christmas was bad. And then the New Year's finale was
New Year's
fine.
Finale yeah. was great.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, okay, that's why.
Yeah, that's why. That's absolutely
you
why.
You can't get looked back. And like, weren't the episodes that weren't good, they were like 2 hours long.
A lot of them were really long. Yeah. Another quote unquote snub for a large swath of America that I couldn't give a shit about is every Taylor Sheridan show that has ever existed has not been nominated, and that's fine.
Surprise, surprise.
How about this though for short form or variety, I forget what exactly it's in, but Subway Takes has been nominated.
Yeah.
Which is really fucking cool.
The creator economy is here.
Oh, you don't say, Brandy.
Yeah, they are.
Looks like you have a stake
awards.
In that in some way.
I know. You wouldn't think that, like, I'm trying to develop creators, would you?
That said, no hot ones. No love for hot ones, which a lot of people thought might finally get a look in the variety series category.
You know what? Like, Subway Takes, I feel like, always comes up for me. Hot Ones doesn't.
Well, it's a longer show now. It's more of like a full length show.
Yeah, but like, I feel like you gotta be serving me up some like 45 second clips in my Instagram feed.
It hits when it's like a press tour that's really hitting, you know? So it gets kind of caught up with like the hot press tours that are floating around. But you're right. I get Subway Takes far more frequently than any sort of Hot Ones clips. And it's not even close.
Can I just ask a question? Like,
of course.
What, like, the Outstanding Variety Special Live, it's the exact same nominees every year.
It's like the Oscars.
Like, the Oscars, the Emmys, the Golden Globes, the Grammys, the Super Bowl halftime show.
Which will win. Yeah.
And the Tonys. Sorry.
Right.
It's basically like every single award show. Like, yeah. In fact, like, what if like 1 year, like, the Oscars like didn't get nominated.
I know. Like, it's funny. It just kind of comes down to like, can your director cut a live camera? If so,
yeah.
You get to be nominated. Which I think is a little funny.
The Outstanding Documentary or Nonfiction Special like really reads as like obituaries for people that I love. So it's like John Candy, I Like Me.
Oh yeah.
Marty, Life is Short, even though he's not dead. But that was that's what I want to win. That was so good.
I didn't see it.
You gotta watch it. It's so good. Especially like Marty, as a comedy, as a comedy lover. Like just like there's so much Catherine O'Hara in it. Like it's and just like the people that they sit down to like talk about, like I want to know Martin Short. Like I want to be invited to his house. looks really fun. Mel Brooks, The 99-Year-Old Man. My Mom, Jane. I do actually want to see that's Mariska Hargitay. Mm-hmm. Ooh, Sean Combs, The Reckoning got nominated. That was pretty good.
I stayed away from that. And here's a show that, you know what? This is another one that maybe could have taken that love story spot in Limited that I really liked. Mm-hmm. Did you watch Death by Lightning?
No, but I want to see that. That's about the president.
Yeah.
The old, not like, like President McKinley.
No, James Garfield.
James Garfield.
Yeah. About James Garfield. But interesting little piece here is that Nick Offerman was nominated for a role so I'm seeing this right now on Vulture, a big year for two-timers. Matthew Rhys, Jason Bateman, Coleman Domingo, Laurie Metcalf, and Nick Offerman all grabbed pairs of acting nominations, which is kind of crazy.
Wait, Laurie, that's awesome. What's Laurie Metcalf?
So she has she got a guest spot as what's her name?
Hax?
Weeze or something?
The tour manager.
Yeah.
That's so funny because I just recently watched that episode.
Right.
And whenever, because she was on in what, like season two, whenever they went on the road trip or whatever, was the tour bus person.
Yeah.
And again, I see her, I'm like, is that from Roseanne?
Yeah. And then she was nominated for, she had a role in Monster, the Ed Gein story. But yeah, Nick Offerman got a nomination for The Death by Lightning. And then he was also in Margo's Got Money Troubles, which is interesting.
Oh my God. Every single outstanding guest actress in a comedy series is from Hacks.
I know.
With the exception of Jamie Lee Curtis and Betty Gilpin.
Yeah. And wait till you see that Betty Gilpin in Widow's Bay. Holy cow.
I can't wait. Because I do love her.
Oh yeah. It's good. It's really good. Yeah. It kind of feels like just based on these acting categories, because also you look at supporting and guest in a drama and it's just like The Pit all the way down. Like, yeah. I feel like it's The Pit and it's Hacks and they're going to kind of just run the board in those two categories. But
yeah.
All right. Any final thoughts, Brandy, on the nominees, on kind of where TV's at, what you're looking forward to, if anything, and kind of what this crop of nominees kind of says about where we are in TV right now?
I feel like what I'm feeling about TV from these nominees is a real love for original stories.
Interesting.
Because there are so many original stories here that aren't based on something else. It's like Margo's Got Money Troubles, I think, is based on a book, but like Hacks is an original idea. Mm-hmm. Widow's Bay, original idea. Pluribus, possibly the most original idea I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that there were buyers that were willing to take chances on original ideas like this and like give them the money that they need to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And that audiences are willing to show up for them.
Yeah.
Like, it just, like, this made me, it's like, this made me feel like TV is not dead and that it's how we're consuming it is definitely like changing. But like at the end of the day, like people know when something that like if something's good, it's going to be good.
Yeah. I also think to kind of piggyback on that a little bit, because you're talking about these more original ideas. And I, you know, what's interesting is that there's always this balance of like, okay, the old stalwarts that keep getting nominated over and over, the Only Murders in the Building, and you know, all these other
RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that this slate is starting to signal, or at least we start seeing a bit of a changeover. And when we were mm-hmm. listening to the nominations, a lot of times I said, for season 4, season 5, like there's a lot of later season shows that are being nominated here and not as many fun first season. I mean, there's plenty. There's Pluribus, there's Widow's Bay, there's, you know, obviously the miniseries are all new shows because they're all one and done. So, you know, that's kind of a given. But I would like to get to a point where it doesn't feel like a foregone conclusion. like right now we were both like, yeah, The Pit's going to win. And we mm-hmm. don't really have any sort of like, maybe, I think The Pit's going to win. Maybe Pluribus, but probably not. Like, cause that's, mm-hmm. so I yearn for a little bit more parity. I yearn for a little bit mm-hmm. for to have fewer of these, like, all right, so we have to have a spot for this show because it's been here for 4 years. I'm like, get these older shows off the board, clear up some space. I don't know if these nominations are signaling that, but that's kind of what I hope for the future, is that kind of these old stalwarts. I mean, we know Hacks is done. We know Stranger Things is done, even though we get nominated. There are a lot of shows that are ending, that are closing, mm-hmm. that are kind of, you know, shutting down. So hopefully that leaves us with space for new stuff. And my last thought will be, again, for the love of God, Emmys, just change your eligibility window. Just go January to December. Just have your ceremony in February with everybody else. You're not the most important you're not the most important award show. It's not even close. Everyone pales in comparison to the Oscars anyway. Don't worry about it. Just be part of traditional award season. I promise it'll go so much better. It'll be a lot less confusing. That is my pitch.
I have one last thought that I didn't express when we were talking about Hacks and The Comeback, but like, why aren't Valerie Cherish and Deborah Vance doing a show together?
Whoa.
Yeah.
If they don't do a bit at the Emmys, that is a missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity. I need
huge
it.
Huge swing and a miss.
I need it.
Huge swing and a miss.
I can't think of anything that would make me happier, honestly. And they're both HBO.
Like, yeah.
Come on, guys.
That would be perfect.
Let's do this.
That would be perfect. I love it. All right. Well, on that note, until next time, fire Jeff Probst and goodbye, friends.
Bye, friends.
You arrive here at the